what we're explaining, the more we understand how this life works, the better we can we'll become at helping others come into the kingdom and understand it. A lot of people, they go in and out of the kingdom because they don't understand it. They feel distraught, and they feel distraught. They don't want to sin, but they're living like Paul in chapter 7. But see, chapter 8, Romans chapter 7, he's trying to do good, and he's surrounded by evil, and it's trying to encroach against him. And he finds himself doing things he didn't want to do, or thinking thoughts he didn't want to think. And then they put the cutoff at chapter 7. They left us in the dark in chapter 7. What do even Apostle Paul? What do you do? You're an apostle. You're a man of God, and you're having these problems. But the same apostle wrote chapter 8, and they shouldn't have separated. It should 7 and 8 should have been one long chapter, because 8 goes together. It shows you how to solve chapter 7. Chapter 8 shows you how to solve the problems of chapter 7, life in the spirit. That's what I did. I went to the Lord. I said, I'm going to learn this. And I was open to what God had to say. I didn't go around asking people how to, I would have been more confused, and I began to understand that, because people didn't think that way. I needed something from the Lord. And now, he could have used people, and he did. He used a friend of mine in the vision, and he used I learned to confess the word listening to Charles Capps. I learned how to apply faith by Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. And these men of God helped, but the Lord gave me what I was after, so I could get it. I had to get it. If you live without revelation, you don't get it. Everything you do, everything you believe, if you never got the revelation about it, get the revelation about it. Now, there are people who tithe. I'm going to give you an example. And they love tithing. They thank God for the blessing of tithing. They have the revelation of it. Some people, they did it. They believe it. They see it. They hear other people have good reports. And they know it helps the church, so they do it, but they don't have the revelation of it themselves. So when things get tight, they kind of stop, because they don't have the revelation. It's the same thing with going to church. If you go to church, you're going to stay strong. If you stop going, you can get weaker, especially if you don't study the word. It's not just going to church. You need to be around what's the things of God. That's when you're around strong people, you're around the strongest influence on earth. I didn't say in the world, because we're not of the world. When you go to church, you're around the strongest people on earth. And when you go out in the dark world, you can see all manner of corruption, and people are doing things they shouldn't be doing. Now, it's a sad fact, when the Lord comes back, all sin will be here. He's going to take what's holy to heaven. This is why he delayed. He knew that the five of the virgins were corrupt. And you think the bridegroom just happened to come when they were gone? They hardened their heart. People that harden their heart, the Lord is not just waiting to save everybody he can. People that's hardening their heart, he can't take them with him. He give them a space of time to repent. But when their heart gets consumed with sin, he can't take them with him. And if they begin to fall, they get to a point, he can't take them with him. So he's going to do this thing right and strategic. He's only going to take holy people that want to walk in the love of God with him. He's not going to take people that's trying to seduce their neighbor's wife. They're going to be here. The rapture is going to be a snapshot of reality. I look forward to it in the sense that I'm going to be with Jesus. And I get sad about it, because a lot of people are doing things they shouldn't be doing. And they're not even, They're not what you would call wicked people, but they have wickedness in them. And the Lord knows what he's doing. When he finished the whole thing, there won't be any sinners. The sin of itself can't work without a host. It's got to have a host. It can't do anything. It's dead. It can't do anything without a host. So you have to get rid of the host if you're going to get rid of sin. Or save the host and get them saved and they walk in the love of God. And sometimes I look at how God do things. He always do the best option. Always. So I said, why hell? Why did he make hell a place of torment? That's the only way, that's the best way to stop sin. And contain, it has to be contained. You can't really kill a spirit made in the image of God. They're going to live forever somewhere. You can't kill an angel. You got to contain them if they're evil. Consider these things because the Lord, his return is very imminent. And everything God do is well thought out. If you get the revelation of it, you'll see what he see. And you'll understand things as it really is. The Lord's return is imminent because of timing. He's got to come back. He told me he's got to come back. He's going to keep his word. If he delay, he won't be keeping his word. He got to come at a certain time. And years ago, the Lord told me that the word of the Lord came to me saying the time is set. I said, wow. I told my son, and he knew a guy that knew a youth pastor. And the youth pastor said the same thing. He was laying on the couch at home, and the Lord told him the time is set. Now, that's two witnesses, so it's set. And then he started talking to me about his return. And this would have been around 2016 or 17. And I thank God that he delayed as long as he did. Because in 2017, I thought I might not see 2018. In 2018, I knew I wasn't going to see 2019. In 2019, I said, well, I don't think I'm going to make it to 20. I think the rapture is going to happen. But here it is, 2022. And the Lord is still talking about his return. Sometimes that's the first thing he talked to me about in a day, that his return is imminent. He's got to come back. And he does. I'm not trying to rush it or delay it. But my prayer now is, Lord, help me do all this in your heart. Help me be covenant appropriate. Help me do what you want me to do. And help me to do it quick. Raise people up that, you know, don't ever be afraid of sin. Don't fear sin and don't be afraid to love. Love everybody. Say it. Speak it. That's what I did. Charles Capps taught us how to apply faith. I wanted to love God more than I knew how to love him. So I put that before. I said, Lord, I want to love you as if I did the worst of the worst. I want to love you more. I want it to ever increase. I don't want it to stay the same. I want to love you and I want to love your people just like you do. And things begin to increase. And guess what happens? When you walk in love, it gives you an ability that a lot of people don't know about. They don't realize they have it. It gives you the ability to believe what God says. See, 1 Corinthians 13 said, love believes all things. And I added all things of God. And also, it sees the world for what it is. So it really does believe all things, but from God's perspective, not from a gullible perspective. See, the enemy always work in the shadows. He work against what you don't know. The word of God clears things up for us. And if you fill your heart with his word, even if you don't catch it, you took time to put it there and you considered it and meditated on it. The Holy Spirit can put it together for you. He can put the puzzle of the word of God together for you. And then when you hear others saying things you need, he can alert you to it. And he'll use the word that you had to give you a greater understanding. Sin is not something that you can just, you just walk down the road and now you're a sinner again. It don't, it takes thought and planning. And so in order for a person, a Christian person, to fall, man or woman, the enemy will give you zap thoughts. He'll give you fiery dart thoughts. It'll come real quick, you know, kind of like a mosquito bite. But you, the problem is, you don't, you know it's there, but if you deal with it while it's small, it's easy to deal with. And it won't get out of hand. I learned warfare through something that happened in a Believer's Voice of Victory magazine that Kenneth Copeland put out. And I was in the yard, me and a friend, a guy named James, he's a prophet. Or he used to prophesy. And he said, "You have a word in your house." Now we're in the backyard talking. He just stopped and said, it's like the Lord told him. He said, in mid-sentence, he said, "You have a word in your house." I said, "Let's go get it." And I went in the house, went to the closet, and I got out a stack of magazines. And I had about five of them in there. One was from James Robinson. We looked through it first. And then I handed him, I don't know if I opened it or he opened it, but it was a Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. And I opened it to an article. He said, "That's it." He pointed to it and said, "That's it." And so we both sat down and read it. And in this magazine, Kenneth Copeland, I forgot the title of it, but he said if Chicago had dealt with Al Capone when he was small, it wouldn't have taken the U.S. Army to get him out. See, and that's what I got from it. I read the whole article. And the Lord told Kenneth Copeland, when you know you're going to preach somewhere, take authority against that day. Don't wait till the day off. Take authority ahead of time. And that gave me a new concept, because every time I got ready to preach, I ran into spiritual warfare. And it caused me to take ministry serious. The devil was trying to stop the messenger and hinder it to get to the ears of the people. And the Lord also told me personally, he said, when you preach somewhere, bind the spirit of blindness. And I do warfare for people so they can hear. But I rebuke the enemy against the days I'm going to preach. I don't just wait there. Well, I guess I'm going to. Then, you know, if you forget to do, when I go to the church and do Sunday school, I'm talking to strong believers. And so I kind of got rusty, because when you teaching people that's pulling the word of God like they do at our Sunday school, and then you go somewhere else and teach, you know, like a funeral, all kind of people come to the funeral, and all kind of people bring all kind of spirits with them. So I went to a friend of mine. I forgot to do warfare. And I was going to just read a scripture and give an exhortation at my friend's funeral. And I ran right into warfare. I realized I forgot to do warfare. Now, I'm standing there before the people to read a scripture and do warfare at the same time. How did I do that? I quietly told Satan he couldn't work, and I continued to study the scriptures. They didn't hear me. And everything went fine. But I could feel the pushback. And then I saw people feeding from the word, from the exhortation I gave. They were hungry for it. Some people were, I could feel the pull of that and the resistance of those that love the club or whatever. And, you know, they love the nightlife. And you got all kind of people come to a funeral. Some people, they, you know, going to church ain't their thing. And the devil don't want them. He's trying to keep them dull. And I'll never forget it. But you have to rebuke the enemy ahead of time. You have to protect your children. You have to pray for your wife. And believe God as a way of life. And don't let a thought get by you. If the enemy give you an ugly thought, He's trying to get you to decide to choose to entertain it, and then choose to consider it, and then choose to act on it, and choose to receive pleasure from it. Don't receive pleasure from anything wrong. The Lord told me, end with this, the Lord told me that it takes a measure of hatred to cross the line. If what God did for Christians, he gave us, he put us in the position of Adam. We're clean in his sight. But if you eat off the tree of life, I mean the tree of the knowledge of good and evil all over again, it takes a measure of hatred to do it. So love is the key. The love of God is the key to your success. It's the key to your motivation. It's the key to you desiring the things of God. Because sin, once you go down that path, it's going to start attacking all of your desires for the things of God, one by one, or many by many. As much as weak as you'll be, it will attack until you turn into a Laodicean Christian or like those that were dead in the church of Sardis. See, they were dead. They once knew God, but they died. They got consumed with sin. And the Lord was warning them because they once had a love for him. And the Laodicean, sin blinds you. You'll think you're right with God. You'll think God condone what you're doing. And your thoughts will be corrupt. What happens to your love walk? It goes away. Why do you think he kept saying, protect your first love? Go back to your first love. Without love, we're like a tinkling cymbal. We ain't no good. We're going back to the mire. You don't want to go back to the dog vomit. It hurts everybody. Adultery hurts everybody. Fornication hurts everybody. It suggests to the children this is all right. It's like slapping for the girl. It's like slapping her parents in the face. It shames the parents of the guy who's out doing this stuff. It weakens everybody that's involved with it. Then it steals them away from what God wants them to do. The couple that's living in sin, they should be a couple on fire for God. And the enemy tried to seduce them into the wrong way of living. But see, when things are in order, see sin, I asked the Lord for a definition of sin. And all kind of things came to me. But I believe the short answer that I was after is that sin, hear me good, it's a seed of disorder. Fornication is disorder. Adultery is disorder. Homosexuality is disorder. It's against everything. I'm just using those for an example. So is thieving, being a thief, a witch. If you're a witch, you're summoning the enemies of God to fight the purpose of God. That's what a real witch does. A cartoon witch could be portrayed differently, but I mean, a real witch, they use the most evil things in this world to help fight against the purposes of God. And they usually, that's what happens when you lust after power or praise. That's what happened to the Pharisees. That I asked the Lord the difference. I said, what is the leaven of the Pharisees? He said, the Pharisees, they love praise, and then Herod, the leaven of the Herod loves power. Then he says Satan loves both. So loving power and being over others, loving the praise of man, loving attention, those things cause you to be something God didn't design you to be, and it causes sin to develop in you. And sin will take away your desires for God. So if you get in sin, if you find yourself not desiring the things of God, you need to be delivered. You can be delivered. You can get people to pray for you and start studying the word and asking God to help you come out of it, help you. You can ask the Lord to help you hate what is wrong. When you get to a point you can't see yourself living without what is wrong, you're on your way to hell. You're going to be you're living against the life of God. And it's a bad end. It's a lie that you can't be restored and you can have fun in the Lord. And that's very important. Consider these things, because the Lord's return is very imminent, and I want him to get a full investment. Everybody that was once interested in the things of God, I want them to go back to their first love and live a covenant life. I want every marriage to be thoroughly fulfilled and live a covenant life and be the couple that God can raise up. Remember, don't worry about the short time we got, because Jesus even said that in the last hour that he was going to go out and get people in the hedges and highways at the storefronts standing around doing nothing and let them work the field at the last hour. And they're gonna reap a lot of harvest and get paid the same as those that were in the field all day. This is something to consider. Don't underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do. If you need to repent, repent. If you need deliverance, take it. If you need healing, take that too. If you need salvation, receive it. Take it. When I say take it, I mean receive it and hold on to it and live by the love of God only and speak. I hate the things of darkness and I love the things of light. In other words, say to yourself, let there be light only and no darkness. God hated that darkness. He wanted light where he wanted that light. And he got it because he spoke it. And you will have what you say, and your life is the result of what you've been saying. Now, till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Live in victory. You can live in victory. We should live in victory. We should be victory because we should be covenant.